It's unprecedented in Egyptian terms. It is unusual in African terms to, in the first instance, topple a president mid-term and then bring him to judicial trial. So this, in a sense, is uncharted territory for Africa. Coup d'etat we've had, popular uprisings we've had. We have seldom had a situation in which judiciary actually gets to bring a former president to trial. So this does set a significant precedent for Africa.
And what do you think are the implications of this trial for other long-serving African presidents?
We have already begun to feel the shockwaves of the democratic spring in North Africa, in Central, Eastern, and Southern Africa. There have been a wave of popular protests in countries like Uganda, where President Museveni has been in power for well over a couple of decades now. There is the potential for significant protests in Swaziland now. The country we're looking out for, of course, is whether there will be popular protests in Zimbabwe. But even in other democratically elected African countries, such as Malawi, we now see this phenomenon of popular dissatisfaction leading to popular protests on the streets, which is unprecedented in the case of Malawi.
Given some African president, you mentioned Museveni, who has been power for 25 years, there's Paul Biya of Cameroon, Mugabe has been power for so long, also over 20 years. Is there a lesson for the people in these countries to learn from the Egyptian events?
There is, but the point that you make is absolutely correct. The lessons have to be learnt and they have to be shared. The popular uprisings, popular protest, and democratic transformation can't be broadcast by media. Media plays a part, social media plays a part, radio plays a significant part, as you know, in Africa. The significance for the African democratic transition and consolidation is that those experiences need to be shared from the North, and people in the South and Central Africa need to establish what the experiences were, what were the lessons, what can be achieved, how can these transformations come about and hopefully come about peacefully. So this is not an automatic, osmotic process. This is not a chemical reaction. This is a social phenomenon, and we need to look at the demonstration effect of the North and apply those lessons to the South. Sometimes they can be applied mutatis mutandis. Oftentimes they're going to have to be applied to local circumstances, often depending on economic circumstances, urbanization, the role of the military, the role of intelligence services. So yes, the lessons have to be learned for them to become effective in other parts of Africa.
Do you think the issue of term limits, where there are term limits, would help these presidents from themselves and subsequently help their countries?
There are two significant dimensions. Term limits, constitutional term limits, have, I think everybody would agree who is a democrat in Africa, are desirable, that they should be constitutionally mandated and they should be adhered to. This has been the case in Ghana, for example. It's been the case in Nigeria with Obasanjo. It's been the case in South Africa. These are important lessons. What we have in certain of these instances, leaving aside Swaziland, is rulers who can extend their term of office because they have access to natural resources, more particularly such as oil. So we have a situation in Angola, we have a situation in Guinea, etc., where we have an abundance of oil, Equatorial Guinea, countries like this, that these leaders can tap into and in a sense subvent or subvert the democratic process and extend their terms. This again, once Uganda starts exploiting its oil, it is Museveni has the potential to extend his term even more, given the fact that he has access to this rich natural resource. So this is a key factor in democratic governance and democratic transition in Africa.
In most of these countries, the Arab Spring, now even in protests in Kampala, Uganda, Malawi recently, all these have been homegrown with very little support or interference from the international community. Is that a good thing?
It's a desirable thing because it gives legitimacy and credence to these movements. Remember that African leaders such as Muammar Gaddafi, himself under severe threat now, has been a major supporter of African leadership, and some of it not democratic leadership, for many, many years. And so I do not think it's a coincidence that you see the weakening of Gaddafi over the past few months with popular uprisings in countries of which he has been a financial supporter in the recent past. So yes, this is a significant lesson.